You believe that Monsignor DiNardo tempted God by going to Mars, despite his illness?
What else? He chose secular humanism over his Lord and Savior and suffered the consequences.
Then his death wasn't an accident?
It was divine justice. Dex fought down a sudden urge to puke. This isn't an investigation, he realized. It's a fucking inquisition. Tithonium Chasma, the dig. Zeke Larkin laid his digging spade on his shoulder as he and Alonzo Jenkins trudged through the morning sunshine from the dome's main airlock toward the dig. Lonzo, a stubby, dark-skinned postdoc geochemist from Toronto, was singing his usual lament. Picked up my shovel and walked to the mine. Loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, "Don't you know any other songs?" Larkin asked, half annoyed, half amused. "None that's so appropriate." The rest of the digging crew were already standing around the edge of the pit in their nanofabric suits. Carlton was nowhere in sight. "Where's our taskmaster?" Larkin asked, turning back toward the airlock. Sure enough, Carlton came through the hatch in his bulky, hard-shell suit. "He's too goddamn stubborn to switch to a nano-suit," Larkin thought. "Like it's going to damage his reputation if he gives in and admits the nanos are better." Carlton strode to the edge of the dig, his face hidden behind the reflective visor of his helmet. "All right," he said. "Let's get to work." Larkin realized that Carlton didn't give him any specific instructions. After his blow-up with the anthropologist 2 days earlier, he'd stayed away from the dig. But Jamie Waterman had stepped into his lab the previous evening to tell him that Dr. Chang had rearranged his schedule, and he was expected at the excavation site the next morning. So he stood with his spade on his shoulder like an infantryman with his rifle, as all the others started down the ramp and into the pit. "Larkin, you go with Jenkins and help him with the digging out by the old riverbed," Carlton said, his voice sounding tight, edgy in Larkin's earphone. Suppressing an instinct to give the anthropologist a military salute, Larkin said merely, "Right, okay." But he hesitated. "Dr. Carlton."
"What?"
"Over on the other side of the village, where I was digging a couple of days ago, when you decided to quit," Carlton snapped. Larkin sucked in a breath. "Well?" Carlton demanded. "Nothing," said Larkin. And he started down the ramp to catch up with Jenkins. Why bother, he thought. So there's some bumps in the ground out there. So what? It's probably not important. And if it is, he's too pig-headed to listen to me. I'm on his shit list big time. As the day wore on, though, Larkin kept thinking about the seemingly empty ground on the other side of the village. He and Jenkins were just going through the motions, he realized. They were digging through the layers of accumulated stone that had once been the bed of the river that flowed through the valley. "Look for possible fossils," Carlton had told them. "Yeah, sure," thought Larkin. "Like we'd be able to tell what's a fossil from what's an ordinary rock. On Earth, you might turn up a fragment of a seashell or the bones of some animal. But on Earth, you'd recognize them for what they are. What do Martian seashells look like? How can I tell if this flat rock is just a rock or maybe it was once a turtle's shell? No way to know. Like trying to decipher those hieroglyphics from the buildings up on the cliff. We've got nothing to compare them to." Still, his mind kept returning to the memory of those slight, barely perceptible ridges in the ground out in the empty area on the other side of the village. "You can hardly make them out," Larkin said to himself. "Only when the sunlight slants in at the end of the day, that's when you can see them. Do they mean anything? Probably not, and yet they're regular, like a pattern, not random." His spade struck a hard, stubborn layer of rock with an impact that sent a shudder up his arms. Damn, like the pirates in Treasure Island when they hit the buried treasure chest. "Hey, Lonzo," he called, "give me a hand here." "What you got?" Jenkins asked, straightening up tiredly from his own digging. "Maybe a whale," Larkin wisecracked. Jenkins came over, and the two of them began digging carefully around the hard object. It took more than an hour, but they finally cleared all the compacted dust from it. "Some whale," Jenkins grumbled, panting from the exertion. "It's just a goddamn big flat rock." Larkin stared at it. Maybe a geologist could make something out of it, but he had to agree with Lonzo. It was nothing more than a big flat rock. A lot of work for nothing, Larkin said.
Yeah, but you never know. Might have been a whale. Or a dinosaur. You don't know till you've done the work to uncover it.
Larkin shook his head inside the inflated bubble of his helmet. What's that song of yours say? Another day older and deeper in debt?
Exactly.
Jenkins looked up at the sky.
Well, this day's just about over. We've loaded our 16 tons, right?
Right. Let's head for the showers.
But when they got to the ramp that led up to the lip of the excavation, Larkin told his partner,
You go on, Lonzo. I want to look at something.
Jenkins shrugged inside his nanosuit and started up the ramp.
Larkin walked through the remains of the village, past the dark square shapes of building foundations laid out in neat geometric order, and out to the edge of the empty space. The sun was low enough to throw those slight banks of ground into high relief. Another few minutes and the sun'll sink down past the edge of the pit, Larkin thought, and it'll all go into shadow. He hunkered down to his knees, then leaned forward and put his head on the ground, squinting at the faint, faint rows of raised mounds.
What are you doing?
Carlton's voice sounded more annoyed than curious. Getting up to a kneeling position, Larkin called back,
There's a pattern here.
A pattern? What are you talking about?
Come over here and take a look. Quick, before the sun goes down too far.
Turning to look over his shoulder, Larkin saw Carlton's cumbersome heart suit clumping slowly toward him, like some robot monster from a horror vid.
Come on, Larkin urged. Faster.
Carlton lumbered up to him.
What pattern? I don't see any.
Get down. You can barely make it out, but if you get down, you can see the shadows. Muttering to himself, Carlton slowly, awkwardly lowered himself to his hands and knees.
If this is some kind of a practical joke,
lower, quick, the sun's almost down. Carlton slowly, carefully got down flat on his belly. Larkin fought back a laugh. The anthropologist looked like a beached mechanical whale.
What, Pat?
Carlton's breath caught in his throat.
You see it?
Larkin urged.
Rectangles. Laid out in orderly rows.
Yeah.
Do you know what this is? Carlton's voice was brimming with excitement.
Their farm?
Farm, hell! This is their cemetery. I'll bet my life on it. We found their cemetery.
Larkin started to frown at the word we, but then he thought, what the hell? He wants to horn in on the credit, so what? If he's right. He sat there, squatting on his knees, with Carlton stretched out prone beside him in the bulky hard suit, until the sun dipped below the edge of the excavation and the area darkened into shadow.
All right, Carlton said, sounding excited. All right! Now what we've got to do is...
Ugh! What? What do we have to do?
Get me back on my feet! I can't get up in this damned hard shell!
Larkin laughed and tried to pull Carlton up. He had to call two other men to help him. Tithonium Base. Discussion. Jamie asked to use Chang's office for this meeting of the team's three key people to decide on the future of the exploration effort. He began by explaining the conclusions of the logistics study that Maurice Zerowal had headed. We can afford to maintain 15 people on Mars, he told them. That's all that the Mars Foundation can support, even with help from Selene.
15 people?
The shock broke through Lao Dong Chang's normal impassivity.
Not enough? Impossible!
That would really be a skeleton crew, quipped Carter Carlton. Jamie nodded grimly.
Skeleton as in dead.
Carlton nodded. The other person in Chang's office was Nari Quintana. She sat in one of the chairs that flanked the low coffee table, her legs tucked under her, her brown eyes flicking from one man to the next. Jamie, on the sofa beside Chang, asked her, Dr. Quintana, would reducing the number of people here to 15 or so present any special medical problems? She hesitated a moment, then replied, I can't see where it would, except that I would probably have to help in some of the other work, like Carter's excavation.
You would stay, Jamie asked, under those circumstances?
Quintana nodded slowly.
Indefinitely, Jamie prodded.
I don't know how frequently we'd be able to bring resupply flights in.
There's a flight due in next month, isn't there?
Chang said, That is last scheduled flight.